Grace and peace, everyone. This is Pastor Garfield Crumbie from Divine Word Impact Kingdom Ministry. We are a ministry that is built for purpose and designed for impact. I am your host. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. On last week, I dealt with 3 points in understanding the importance of studying God's Word. They were number one, it fosters growth, maturity, and development. Number two, it provides God's position on a matter and his original intent. Number three, it provides barriers, boundaries, and parameters. On this morning broadcast, I would like to continue in the same vein. To not know or understand the purpose or value of a thing can lead to either abuse or neglect. Because many of us as God's people do not understand the importance of studying the Word, we neglect or fail to give a committed attendance to studying the Word of God, which results, for the most part, in abuse of the Word through erroneous interpretation or incorrect application. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua is told that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. In Psalms 1, verses 1 through verse 3, it reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." The word for meditate here in the Hebrew is the word haggah, H-A-G-A-H. It means to mutter, to speak aloud, to growl, or to ponder audibly. It means to murmur. This Hebrew word haggah is connected to the imagery of a cow chewing its cud. It also shared the same root with the process of ruminating, which means to consistently think deeply, thoroughly, or intentionally about something. Now, it is said that a cow has four stomachs, which is really four parts in their stomach. And when a cow chews the cud, he swallows it and stores it in one of his stomach. And the cow, when he's hungry, the cow would regurgitate that cud or that grass. He would chew it and chew it and chew it. He would swallow it. He would recall it and chew it until he has extracted all the nutrients and everything within that grass or cud that would be beneficial to him. And so as individuals, we're called to meditate on the Word of God. We're called to think deeply, thoughtfully, and intentionally about the Word. We're told to speak aloud, to ponder audibly, to murmur, to ruminate the Word of God in our spirit. And as we continue to meditate on the Word of God, our spirit man will continue to extract from that word the life, the benefits that our spirit man needs in order to grow, to mature, and to develop. Scriptural meditation requires time, effort, and repetition. It requires deliberate, intentional, and purposeful pursuit. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is life-giving and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Proverbs 6:22 tells us that when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with you. I cannot tell you how many times I've woken up in the morning and literally hear the word of God speaking into my spirit before I even become conscious of it. But the problem is, once I become conscious of it, my conscious thought takes over and it seems to cut it off. But when we study and meditate on the word of God and extract from it the life-giving flow, the word of God, it will guide us. It will speak to us. It will keep us. Psalms 119 verse 105 tells us that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalms 119 verse 30 tells us that the entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Having said all of that, I would now like to deal with point number 4 in understanding the importance of studying God's word. It provides us with knowledge of the Christ. So the importance, the fourth point in understanding the importance of studying God's word is that it provides us with knowledge of the Christ. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus makes the clarion call. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The law, the Psalms, and the prophets speaks concerning the coming Christ and his assignment. The gospel speaks about the life of the Christ, and the epistles tells us as to how and why we are to follow after Christ. So Jesus, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." He said something in French. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And those words there, understanding the meaning of those words, are very important to us understanding exactly what Yeshua HaMashiach was saying and what it is that he wants us to take from his teaching. He says, "Take my yoke upon you." In ancient time, the yoke was a wooden apparatus that was made. It was put around the neck of the ox, of the oxen, and there was a piece that came across that connected a mature ox with an ox who has not learned the art of plowing. And the mature ox would be yoked with the inexperienced ox, and the mature ox would teach the inexperienced ox how to yoke. So the younger ox, the inexperienced ox, would learn from the mature ox. And in ancient time, a teacher or a master's teaching, his philosophy, and or his way of life was called the yoke. So when Yeshua HaMashiach said to us to take his yoke upon us, he's saying we must put ourselves under his teaching, put ourselves under his philosophy, put ourselves under his way of life, that we may learn from him, because we cannot be like the Christ whom we do not know. And he said that, "I am meek and lowly in heart." The word meek there in the Greek is the word pros, P-R-A-U-S. And it was really a military term in ancient Greece when they would take the wild horses, a horse that had strength, that had speed, that had stamina, and the soldiers would take these wild horses and train them. They would not break their spirit, but they would train the horse as to how to submit their strength and their swiftness to the control of the rider. So when that warrior got on that horse, he would be riding to battle with the full strength and full swiftness and full speed of the horse. So when Jesus says, I am meek and lowly, Jesus is saying, submit your strength, submit your tenderness, submit your gentleness, submit your strength, submit your will to me, that I can make you and that I can use you for my purpose, my kingdom, and for my glory. It says, for I'm meek and lowly. It says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the Greek, when it says, my yoke is easy, what Jesus was saying, and now in ancient time, when they would make the yoke for the ox or the oxen, the yoke would be measured to the size of the oxen. So when Jesus said that my yoke is easy and my burden is light, Jesus was saying that my teaching, my philosophy, and my way of life is suitable for you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That also means in the Greek to be well-fitted or well-suited. So Jesus is saying, if you take my teachings, my philosophy, and my way of life upon you and allow and submit your strength to me, submit your will to me, and allow me to train you and to develop you from you learning or by you learning from me, then you will be well suited and well fitted for the purpose in my kingdom and the assignment on your life that I have called you to. So to take my yoke upon you really means to embrace, to internalize, and to apply the word of God to our lives. When we do that, we allow it, the word, to metastasize throughout our soul and spirit. This allows gestation to take place in the womb of our spirit, which results in the Christ being formed, developed, and matured in us. This allows the matured Christ in us to speak for himself in allowing him to live in and through us instead of us attempting through our own human effort to live for him. There's a place in the scripture where Jesus has healed this man who was blind, and that miracle came to the knowledge and to the understanding of the Pharisees, and they called the mother of this man and wanted to know whether this man was truly born blind and that Jesus healed him. She said, he is of age, he can speak for himself, ask him. So when we allow the Christ, when we allow the Christos, when we allow Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed one in us, to come to a place of maturity to us engrafting the word in our lives, it allows him to speak for himself, and we don't have to attempt to live for him, but allow him to live to us. As Paul says, it is no longer I, but the Christ who lives in me. When we allow this to happen, then our life will bear witness that we have been with Jesus. I'd like to thank everyone for joining me on today's program. I invite you to join me next week, Saturday at 8:30, right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. God bless and go in this thy might.
Took our place. No one.